All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, come down here into my basement chamber of secrets.
Okay.
I don't know if I talked to you about this, but I joined a cult.
Good for you. Oh, man. So are you, like, how many times a week do you lift?
Well, I don't need anything that casts a shadow. It's that kind of cult.
Okay.
Not the first kind. So I met this guy. His name's Chuck. He's a real cool dude. He's really powerful. And he's actually, he's been telling me he's going to open up this door to the nether dimension.
Does Chuck have any like agents that work for him? Or are you signed up to be a part of that?
I think I'm one of the ancients. You know, which is fine.
You become Chuck's one agents. Of the ancients? Really?
Hopefully we're going to meet some. So okay. I figured, you know, out of everybody I knew, you know, given your propensity for horror and everything and the fact that we're going into a shadow dimension, I would...
Should be a shadow dimension.
Yeah. We're going to go into this other dimension he opened up.
Oh, man, we just got back from that other one where the mystery guy or whatever.
Yeah. Well, this is a different, totally different shadow dimension.
Okay.
So I want to have here. Let me move this tapestry.
Oh, okay.
Of the Crimson King. And here's a portal. And let's step through, buddy. I have a lot of things to tell you about this cult.
I'm pretty... Okay, well, here we go.
It's going to be cool.
Whoa!
Wow, look at it, Cole. Look at the geometry.
I can't describe it.
No matter how much I try,
there are no words.
It's the things... Everything is set to Charlie's angles. I can't...
Fuck
none of them
this.
Make sense.
Fuck this, Gary. Fuck this. Ashamed. Like I don't have that much of a foot to stand on. I got a chill from my toes up to the top of my head when he said Charlie's angles. And I feel like I walked right into that one.
It's all right. Fuck that. Fuck this. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross, I guess.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where we tell you what can get fucked and and what should not be fucked.
Whew. Yeah. Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Brian, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, like, uh-oh. You're a bad boy.
You're a bad Brian.
Yeah, this is one bad Brian. He's going to get spanked.
Yeah. So this is Charlie's Angels. It was suggested for the PS2, although that the game was received so poorly on the GameCube that all the ports were canceled. Which, imagine, Gary, of all of the shitty licensed Universal games that came out, not like Universal Studios, but like, oh, like we're just going to shovel everything onto every platform.
Everything with a Game Boy Color port.
Right. Yeah. Everything with a Game Boy Color port, including this, I think. Maybe
this does not have one.
Ah, shit! It really.
I'm really surprised though, because like it screams Game Boy Color port.
Yeah, and not just because Lucy Liu's involved.
Yeah.
But like this is like it was in development. They didn't even like see fit to like print it in the United States for anything but the GameCube.
This is I played the PlayStation 2 version of it, just because I got that ROM, and I have that emulator up and running. Mm-hmm. And this is among the worst things we've done for the show.
It's so bad.
It's perplexing.
It really, really is. So it's very obviously like a tie-in. It's an interquel, I think, between the first Charlie's Angels movie in the early 2000s and Charlie's Angels Full Throttle,
which is a sequel to the LucasArts game of the same name.
Yep.
It's a really abstract sequel. It's like Dark Souls 2, like millennia have passed.
Yep. It's a crossover. Yeah. You have all of your friends, Rip Burger. No, he was the bad guy. Rip Burger was the bad guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Fuck. It's all right.
Gary, I screwed up. Let's dwell on that for a minute.
Yeah. It's all right. There's too much to talk about. And also too many dicks to beat off, because this is a very hot, sexy game.
Oh, God.
Or at least that's the intention. Like, I think that this, so, and there's a lot to unpack here, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because so Charlie's Angels, the original Charlie's Angels, 70s, it's fine.
Yep.
Like, is this a secret old man thing that you like? Is this, are you into the Charlie's Angels the same way you're into MASH and fucking Private Pile and shit?
No, it's not. So I think that, I just remember being really bored by it when it came on Nick at Night. I was thinking about it, I was getting ready for this, and it's like, yeah, like I just remember it being the show with the, the show with the fucking speakerphone. And it's like basically, you know, not like cable even, but like network action drama stuff. It just like, it didn't have enough like whiz bang and pop for me to like hold my attention. Like comedy
action shows are bad.
Right. Yeah. You know, like just stock footage and stuff like that. And, you know, like by the time I was seeing this, like it didn't hit me as like a sexual awakening thing, like a Three's Company or something did. Right. Yeah. Like Farrah Fawcett, God knows she went through a lot. She perfectly attractive person. Like she never read as sex symbol to me.
No.
And I think that's like, whenever you hear about Charlie's Angels, that's what people talk about, is like, oh gosh, I had her poster and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It just didn't work for me, honestly.
The whole thing is about diminished expectations. Like, you'd watch the show because it was the only place in the world to see a car chase. And then you would watch the show because it's the only place in the world to see like semi-scantily clad women with the biggest hair in the world.
Right. It's the big hair. Honestly, I never went in for the big hair.
70s feather hair. Like that? Yeah.
It just doesn't work for me.
It's not really necessarily for me either. Even though like I would let the girls from Heart go to town on me. go crazy on me.
Specifically is, crazy on you. That is the sexiest song.
Yeah, it is. That song is so goddamn sexy. And just like, oh man, I don't even find you particularly attractive, but just go. Go.
ready your engines.
Yeah, please. That's the exception though for the 70s hair. So the show is them like getting into like those weird lighthearted 70s like Chip style crime. You know, where nothing is dark enough.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of smuggling, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I need dark chocolate chips. I don't need regular chips. Yeah. Like it is, just lots of smuggling. Like, oh no, there's somebody smuggling something.
Here's the thing though. When
your tariffs, America, Jesus Christ, it gives a shit.
Like how many people, like how many like vaguely ethnic people on cigarette boats do I need to see Jacqueline Smith shoot?
And if it's not the Charlie's Angels, it's Knight Rider fighting them, or like it's, you know, that was just the thing.
Yeah.
Cigarette boats full of ethnic folk.
Yeah. Honestly. Just Airwolf launching torpedoes at vaguely ethnic people.
Yeah.
Man. So the big hair thing, I want to go back to this because it was really only Farrah Fawcett that was repping the big hair. I remember Kate Jackson, the dark haired.
There's two dark
person specifically the like the one with the brown hair, not the dark red, like okay. like those two had kind of like a mod look going, not MAUD, MOD, and that's fine, like that's kind of more my speed, but
yeah, not terrible. There's a couple pictures of them where they also kind of have big hair as well, just different kinds of big hair, not the like feathered hair, but like so, and not just to like totally reduce these women to the way they look. Like, I'm sure they were badass, and it was cool that they were doing the same thing that the Knight Rider was doing and that, you know, the A-Team was doing and things like that. It's just all those shows are boring.
Yeah.
So flash forward to this weird cultural mania that happened for these things. Like remake, I remember just being like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the commercials were inescapable. I never actually I never saw it, of course, and then I never talked to somebody who had seen it because it looked like trash, but the it was everywhere.
Yeah, like this was I think this was the Burger King cup, like it just went, like the second that started that being a thing, like we're going to promote shit on fast food cups, like you could really tell.
Yeah,
you know,
Charlie's Angels went for it.
Yeah, and like and like a lot of these kind of things, you know they, instead of getting like action kind of actresses or whatever, like it has three comedic actresses. Lucy Liu kind of isn't, but like Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore, like
they're not action ladies.
No,
who was an action lady around this time that could have been cast instead?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I said that and I realized I really don't know who an action lady would be.
I don't know, at that time.
Yeah.
Like there come to be some, and it's fine. You know, like ladies can do whatever. I'm trying to have that fine line where I don't dislike this because it's women.
Right. Yes.
I think it just looks like, and it's also like, it is really playing up a gross sexual playfulness, in all of the marketing and in the video game that I find distasteful.
Yeah.
In general, like this video game has parts like that are here explicitly because they're to make you, hard.
You have to give you a game boner. Yeah,
to give you a boner. And I dislike.
Yes.
Dislike the fact that so the movie comes out. I never see it. Full Throttle comes out. Like decent game, some bullshit puzzles. This game comes out. The very first cutscene, you get your little cutscene of the Charlie's Angels with Bosley.
Bosley, who is not Bill Murray.
No. It's a black guy, and his hair looks exactly like my microphone pop. Pop cover, like the texture of it is exactly the same, and I'm not saying that in a racist way. It is a graphics way.
Yes.
Everything I say that's bad is not about the minorities or women in this game.
Please extend the game. Please extend him the benefit of that doubt.
Yes, it is not his hair. It is the way they modeled this non-Bill Murray.
Yeah, it is very much like a foam helmet.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It looks like a space ball. And of course, the very first thing is like, hey, there's a bikini contest you guys have to infiltrate. It's like,
that's how you're going to get onto this naval base and distract the sailors.
Yeah, no. So that's bad enough. And they're kind of doing some like, little light banter with the characters.
Talking about the insurance premiums. Like, seems like every time we send you guys out on a dangerous mission, something blows up.
It's just that it's that 70s. It's like, you know, you're off the case, McGarnacle, kind of like, you know, but in a more playful way. But those are cliches that nobody likes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not, it's not fun to just indulge in like every time you guys do something, something goes wrong. Like you have to put some kind of twist on it. Like you can't just do it. Like it's not a joke. You know, I'm sure they're like, oh, there's explosives in the roof. Well, I'm sure the explosives were there anyway. It's like, oh, you girls, well, people died. God damn it, Angels. Like your death toll is in the dozens. Stop it.
We are a paramilitary organization.
Yeah, we are terrorists. Like these terrorists, this terrorist group, the Charlie's Angels. So then you switch, then you get into the game and like, by God, Cole, what is even happening here?
Well, what it is, it's kind of like that Die Hard arcade game.
Hmm.
You remember that? It's just
Mortal Kombat Mythologies.
Yeah, like the Jax, but like even yeah. the Jax one, the Special Forces one that was kind of 3D. That was like a Metal Gear alike. Like you were going and you know up and down elevators. I'm describing elevator action here. Fuck.
Yeah.
you were going and doing a bunch of different stuff. Like this is the most rote kind of like arcade beat 'em up style thing, like down to it puts up a 3D arrow that points in the direction that you're supposed to go.
And I defy anyone to know what like your field of play is in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like you can walk towards the camera, but the camera stops. It's like your camera is has a force field around it. It's like a glass sheet. And then it tells you which way to go. And you can only go that direction in this like 3D world.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. Like there's no, it's functionally a side scroller.
Yeah.
Or like a beat 'em up, like a, you know, having a little bit of you know, X or a Z axis, but not very much.
Yeah.
And
so we like a beat 'em up done well, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
We're not using that as like a prima facie pejorative right
yes.
now. What I'm reacting against is just how simplistic it is. Like,
it's
like the only entertaining thing is if you jump and then do a kick, at least when you're Lucy Liu, you do like a Liu Kang bicycle kick that keeps you aloft.
Yeah. It was pretty silly. I'm sure it happens in the movie too. It's violating. I like a beat 'em up, but this violates the premise where initially they're just like, hey, you're going to infiltrate this thing. You're going to pretend to be swimsuit models. Nope. There's like, there's literally no sneaking or anything. You just go to the right and kill like endless dudes named Bob and Derek.
I think that's a very bold choice because I am Drew Barrymore, Slayer of Blakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Just and picture you letting out a barbaric yawp covered in Blake blood. And I'm coming for the ashes next.
Yeah. That is exactly what is happening, is you're killing white guys and white guys.
Oh, and bikini babes.
There are a couple of bikini babes who also hate you.
I don't understand. Like, is everybody here in the military, but like dressed up in swimwear, like beachwear?
I don't know why. It's like the game starts after you get caught, but it doesn't tell you that you've been caught.
Right.
And all three of the angels have to go do this shit. just in different places. You can use a phone to switch to which player you're playing as, which would almost be cool if they had like different verb sets, right?
Oh,
like you could do this as an example. Speaking of the most recent Exquisite Suffering, if you've heard that, if not, we talked about GoGo 13, which has a bunch of different game modes. Imagine if this was like when you play as Drew Barrymore, because I think she's supposed to be like the rough and tumble metal chick, just from like some Google image searching. Like she's the one who brawls. But when you play as Lucy Liu, like maybe she has like stealth skills. Mm-hmm. And when you play as Cameron Diaz, maybe she's the face of the organization and you do like social things.
Yeah. What you're asking for is a Shadowrun game, Gary.
Well, yeah. Or like the Lost Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, if it's an infiltration based thing, if you're like, if there's a matter of deception, it's like they're just storming the base, killing dozens and dozens of people.
Yeah.
Like it is literally like a graceless insurgency.
But they get results.
I guess that's true. I can't argue with that. I put it on easy and stopped when I got bored. I didn't, you know, die.
Did you get to the ladder?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty great. 40 seconds to climb that ladder. Rung by rung.
It is, you climb in real time. It's like the only thing not sped up. Also, I was joking, or was trying to think of a way to joke about you covering this game for Hexcrank because of how these models look.
Oh, yeah. They're like, we are totally back in the Barbie model territory. Yes. Like they resemble the actresses they're supposed to resemble.
Yes. In as much, I mean, the actresses that you're supposed to resemble do resemble people. Right. So it's like
they are bipedal. Yes.
Yes. And these things are vaguely bipedal. these creatures are vaguely bipedal.
Yeah.
The models, the couch models, do look a little bit like the actresses. So it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
But you just kind of, and you start off as Lucy Liu. When you start,
you start out as Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz, yeah. Because I was going to say that I don't like that you start off as Lucy Liu and just immediately start doing Kung Fu.
Yeah, no, that's yeah.
But you start, all of them just immediately start doing Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
That seems not better. But
I really enjoy the decision to give everybody names. I think that is daring.
yeah even the main characters, because it wasn't really necessary. It just like go to the right as a bikini babe and hit people. The combo system is like the most, like it's really really rudimentary. There's like nothing to that combo system.
It feels like there was a super meter I was building up,
because you do that little spinny thing every once in a while, like spin with your arms out. I don't know, I couldn't find the meter either. Just every once in a while I would do that, what felt like a special move.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, Carrie, we missed we totally missed it. The premise of this game, the action is so there's a cartel of monument thieves.
Oh, goddamn it! The opening cutscene, yeah, because it opens with them stealing the Statue of Liberty.
Yep. Yep. It's done in such an amazing way, because like, okay, it's the New York City skyline, and then things go dark, and then it's back up, and oh no, the Statue of Liberty's gone.
Yep. And the newspaper says New York's orphan.
New York is an orphan.
Oh yeah, it's not a full sentence. I think it might just be New York is orphan.
Yeah, New York is orphan.
Yeah, New York is orphan. First of all, like that sentence is real great. New York is orphan. Second, if you think of orphan as O-R-F-I-N apostrophe, I really like it.
Is that the dance craze that's sweeping the nation?
Yeah, something a DJ might yell after blasting an air horn. New York is orphan. And then the idea of like,
you say Bjork is orphan?
Bjork is orphan. New Bjork, New Bjork.
No, now you're doing, the Swedish chef.
Did you ever get the impression that the Statue of Liberty is New York's mom or parent somehow? Because I didn't.
Neither did I. Although I'm just picturing every couple of months or so, a new tool shed falls out from beneath her frock. Yeah. And then they take that and they put it, and then it grows up. They feed it a lot of steel beams. And they feed it a lot of people. And then eventually it turns into a skyscraper.
As far as games where the Statue of Liberty is in play, like I think this is somehow worse than Ghostbusters 2. That's really saying something, because Ghost. But so, and check this out: stealing monuments. You know who else did that?
Shredder.
Herman, Carmen Sandiego on the Carmen Sandiego TV show.
Oh yeah.
Like that was the premise of it. It was like, oh, Double Trouble came and stole a quarry. Like, what are you gonna do?
Let's ask Rockapella.
Yeah, let's ask Rockapella. It's a zombie zoo. Wop, wop. You know, and it's so silly and cartoonish. Does that happen in the movies?
No, I like so the first movie. So I've seen the movies.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Both of them.
Yep.
Wow.
But I was like super young. I was like 14 or so. Now this got into my like this was in the wheelhouse, I think.
Okay.
So like little bit older than when I saw the original Charlie's Angels, you know, on Nick at Night. And this is like, okay, I'm gonna go watch some mass like society approved light sexualized fun. Or
sure.
Whatever, you know. Yep. And then the old man Cole's Unstuck in Time side of it, I don't remember like any of the plot, because honestly, like the first one is just like, hey, it's the origin story, right? And I think that sure. There might have been something like, oh wait, what if, you know, Charlie's telling us to do bad things, and then kind of like a Mission Impossible thing looking okay. at it, and I have no recollection of Full Throttle. Looking at it now though, the best thing that that movie did was get Tom Green mm-hmm. into a Charlie's Angels movie, because yeah. Drew Barrymore, you know, married
yeah,
to the man.
Yeah, we married that guy.
Yeah,
yeah, good for him. Yeah. The, do you remember the Andy Daly show, or the Andy Dick show, rather?
No.
He had a sketch comedy show on MTV. It was very short lived.
Mm-hmm.
He does an impersonation of Tom Green that is pretty good, but it's really cruel. Like, it's really making fun of Tom Green, which right. like, that's great, because Tom Green is like, what if I fist a horse? Like, that's literally like the extent of his humor. You know, great. So he does this thing making fun of him, but there's a sketch on that show, and I haven't watched it since I've been older, so I don't know if it's true, but where I think he fools DeBrat into thinking he's Tom Green, and him and DeBrat go around and go grocery shopping, and it's amazing.
Who is DeBrat?
Or at least my memory of it. She is a raptress.
Oh.
She's a young raptor. she was a rap lady. But in my memory of it is really amazing, because it's just him like acting like Tom Green and being like, I'm with the brat. You know, I'm grocery shopping and throwing eggs on the ground and just being an idiot like Tom Green is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the brat slowly, the dawning horror on her face as she realizes she's not really with Tom Green.
I mean, if I'm being entirely honest with you, I would much rather go egg shopping with Tom Green than Andy Dick.
Well, yeah, he's not indirectly responsible for Phil Hartman dying.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that, like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, you didn't take away national treasure Phil Hartman.
Okay.
So, not that, like, I mean, Andy Dick has said funny things before.
Oh yeah.
Like, he's not, you know, absolutely repulsive as a comedian. He's just repulsive as like a drug-addled weirdo.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, I forgot about his involvement in that whole affair.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So at the very least, Tom Green has that going for him.
Whenever I go
like,
home.
No matter how many horses he fists, like, he's still can hold that over Danny Dick's head.
Man, whenever I go home, I always watch the weirdest TV. You saw my tweet about Guy Fieri's manhole cover from Flavor
That's
Town.
That's real great, yeah. I'm looking forward. I'm going back home next month. I'm really looking forward to seeing Guy Fieri again. Just because I'll watch him on TV. Because my mom, who loves that guy, and I've been like, you like Guy Fieri? Why do you like Guy Fieri? And she's like, I don't know. I just think he's cool. He's cool. Look at him. Okay, mom.
You know, just like I think about who's really in touch with the kids these days.
It just, he appeals to my mom. My mom's just like, that guy's cool. I don't think she thinks he's attractive or anything. I think she just thinks that, like, no, he's like the Fonz.
He's the Fonz of food. Yeah, he's the Fonz for 2006. He's food Fonz.
Yep. he's the Fonz of Fonzdue.
but no, that just last time I was home, like back earlier this year, I saw this shitty Medical Examiners of Hollywood, like, reconstruction of celebrity deaths. And, okay. And they, had somebody like reopening the Phil Hartman case, you know, and like, there was some interesting stuff about it. It's kind of like, oh, the story doesn't really match up. It was kind of some sloppy police work. You know, it might've been somebody else, all that usual kind of stuff. And his wife was very imbalanced, and I kind of believe the official story. The shitty thing was that they had the worst actors playing them.
Oh,
so
no.
Like the somebody who looks nothing like Phil Hartman walking around at Phil Hartman's place, and it made my heart ache.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because Phil Hartman is wonderful.
Yeah,
Like he's really good. I get sad watching old Simpsons episodes sometimes because he's such a like a singular voice presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
With Paul Reubens, but no.
Yeah, and he's got the best scene in So I Married an Axe Murderer. Yeah,
I like that movie.
Yeah, me too. But he's great in it.
Yeah.
Like that's such a good, like, he was so good for those kind of roles. Like just a really particular, like, small little scene stealer.
Yeah, he's the glue.
I'm not super into any of the principals in Charlie's Angels as like presences on screen. Like,
yeah, it's I've enjoyed their work individually and stuff.
Yeah.
But like together, it's really strange to see them like carrying it, because I don't know if they're being used properly.
Yeah, there's a whole miasma of that floating over this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I'm sure that like they chose to do it and they were well compensated for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I don't think it's being done against their will.
It was a big movie. Like,
yeah, it was huge, you know, and it's great. Like, I'm good for them. You know, mm-hmm. it was a big thing for them, and that's their job.
Yeah.
But just kind of like the desire behind it, just like, we gotta get some. I just remember the trailer with the weird little like Drew Barrymore doing this little butt shake.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. And I just remember that just being, you know, and then seeing like MTV like movie reports where they would just keep showing that in the background like over and over.
Yeah.
And this was like after my like I can literally masturbate to anything. You know, like my weird like when testosterone first hit my body and I was just like, "Oh my god."
Yeah.
You know, that almost looks like a bra strap. Oh my god, I got to do it, you know.
I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Like what did you say? Did you say panty? Okay, well, give me 10 minutes. I'll be back, you know.
I miss having a libido.
Perhaps the truth is somewhere in the middle. Yeah, not to put on the Ken Levine golden jeans or anything, but like, yeah. I think when it comes to that, like, I like the idea that I am no longer, I mean, not, my libido is fine. I know you're joking. I just went along with that as if suggesting like not only you, but myself also have problems with that.
Right.
As if that was just a known thing, but I was just, you know, going along, just saying that I'm glad that not literally everything in the like a
that was hell, like just to have like a hair
like Red Riding Hood, and I'm like, oh my god, just take it.
Sproing. Yeah. There was one scene, I think it was either Drew Barrymore or Cameron Diaz, where like she ordered delivery food and she was playing, it was one of the situations where like it's an N64 controller but they're playing Atari sounds.
Yeah,
she was playing a game and like, you know, saying stuff that made it sound like she was enjoying a solo mission.
Okay.
You know, like she was session out, right?
Yeah.
The delivery guy was getting hot and bothered, and you know, I was when did this come out? 2000. I was 13 when this came out, so that sure. That ended up working okay.
Yeah, you were just like, whoa. Do it, man. Here's a we can't just do entirely. We're running up on time, and we can't just do masturbation memories like the podcast that we're gonna do. Have you ever, like when I was at that age where it was just like literally any port in a storm? Do you know the movie Ramblin' Rose?
Oh god, no.
There's a scene, it's about this like kind of free spirit lady and her adventures in, you know, kind of olden times, but there's a scene, and she's played by Laura Dern, who I had like a Jurassic Park crush.
Yeah, no, we talked about that.
Yeah. And there's a scene in that movie, and I looked it up again recently just to make sure it still existed. Like, it is so tame by today's standards as to be like, you know, masturbation fuel. It is not now, you know, now I need 100%, like 10,000% Brazzers torture, you know, in order to like I just need
just to feel anything.
Yeah, I just need waxy adults to spit on each other's genitals for half hour in order to. But prior to this, when I in quainter times, I looked up, there's a scene where like a audience stand-in, I don't think this was the intention, but like a very clearly like audience stand-in like 13-year-old boy fingers Laura Dern. Like, it's amazing. Like, it didn't do anything for me now, but I was remembering, I was like, man, that was so hot when I was young, and looked it up. I'm like, nope, yeah, of course it was. Like, as a 13-year-old boy, we're just like, maybe someday I'm like friends with Laura Dern. Like, and against her better will, she lets me, like, you know, give her a hand orgasm.
As a treat.
Yeah, she doesn't want to, but he's just like, he's real curious, and she relents, which is kind of like,
how old was she in this? Like 13 is, that's,
yeah, it's weird.
That's a crime.
And yeah, it is a criminal. Like the power dynamics here are all wrong, because he like wheedles her, which is no good, but she is definitely 2 to 3 times his senior. But yeah, and then you know, gets her off with his hand, and it's like, as a kid, like that was literally all I wanted out of life.
Yeah.
It was just like, this was such a wish fulfillment fantasy thing that,
I don't know. Like, so the closest that I had to that, I remember getting, this is super fucked up, but, Leah Thompson in, Back to the Future.
Just
kind of all the situations that are put in. That's a strange thing to put into a kid's movie. Like that level of titillation for like incest kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. She's real coquettish.
Yeah.
Like it is. But I also, I'm, you know, I understand.
Yep.
Like it is it doesn't excuse anything. Everyone is responsible for their own actions. Mm-hmm. I've read a couple essays before though that talked about like, hey, here's what testosterone actually does to you, and this is why you're not thinking straight.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not exonerating anyone for doing terrible things, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that we are just like horny uber alles, like 13-year-oldness.
And it is a storm too. Like, it is
a nightmare. I'm so glad that like that's no longer the case.
Yeah.
Like it is, and that's what this movie and game was like for, was like to appeal to that kind of like, because a different version of me, like, if this had come out when I was very young, there would have been a version of me that like probably jerked off to this game, you know, and that's ridiculous. But again, that version of me is like 12, you know, it's not a, so yeah. I don't know. Anywho, we are up on time.
Yes, we are.
I hope you enjoyed like masturbation chat with the Abject Boys.
It's the masturbation station here on Abject Suffering.
Yep.
Toot toot.
Abject slathering.
You're pulling into the tunnel.
Yep. So if you like the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and support it. You can also rate and review it on iTunes. Those things are both very appreciated.
Yeah. And check out the other shows. We have the newer show on the network, Monster in My Podcast, which happened thanks to Patreon. And we've got another one on the deck. In fact, you're going to hear the host of that on the next episode. Jeremy Greer is going to be joining us to talk about X-Men Mutant Academy. So
yeah.
check out all of that.
If you like X-Men, that show is fun, and we've recorded more episodes than we released. Mm-hmm. We got some in the can, just because it's fun to do.
Yeah.
So even if it doesn't end up getting picked up, then they still exist, and then I can vouch.
Yeah.
So thank you guys very much, and until next time.
Who was Boz Dog?
Who the hell was I at 13 to doing that shit? Ramblin' Rose.
I mean, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I know. I knew what I was doing too.
All right.